www.homelessnessmarathon.org. Welcome to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, a national dialogue on homelessness and poverty in America. The toll-free call-in number for this broadcast is 1-877-NOBODY-8. That's the word nobody, followed by the number 8. If you are homeless, formerly homeless, or afraid you're about to be homeless, you may also call 1-866-LEFT-OUT. In the current French presidential campaign, the right-wing candidate is campaigning on the platform that housing should be a right that is made a reality for every citizen of France. In other words, the French rightist is taking a position far to the left of the most left candidate in our own presidential race. How could such a thing have happened? Are the French crazy or are we? We'll ask, is there anything we can learn from the French, or should we just eat our freedom fries and ignore them? Right after this break.
By WVEW LPFM in Brattleboro, Vermont.
Hi, I'm 17. I've been homeless. I was homeless for 2 months, I think, and I'm not homeless anymore. I was on the run. It was scary because the first night I did not have a place to go, and I was wearing a mini skirt and a t-shirt, and I slept in a car that had no windows, and it started snowing. It was kind of scary. No money, having to work under the table for people I didn't even know, didn't trust. Hanging out with people, doing things I wasn't supposed to, nobody to tell me I was doing wrong. I was homeless because I ran away, because I wanted to be out of the state, which kind of made things worse. I don't know, overall, when I see everybody else walking down the street with a bag of clothes, homeless, it makes me sad because now I have a bed to sleep in and to know what it's like, so that's why I want to get my life together, going to school. Get an education and not have to do that again. Or I feel bad for anybody who's doing that now or is going through it.
Hi, I'm Bill. I'm originally from Massachusetts. Been in Vermont about 8 months. Came homeless due to drugs and alcohol. I'm in the Morningside shelter. Been here about a week. Being homeless is been one of those choices of my own, but a choice that I made to better myself through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the shelter has become almost like a sanction. Very good people here that have helped me out to get myself into a program. And to be homeless is, it puts you in a whole different category of when you're looking at yourself, of what brought you here and why you're here, and drugs and alcohol has done that to me. The people here don't look at you and as being a drug and alcoholic, having problems. They're here to help you out and guide you in the right direction, and the staff at Morningside has helped me out tremendously. I've already gotten a bed. And if it wasn't for them, I don't think that I would be at the spot I am now to get to a program. And I've been introduced to some great people that have helped me get to where I need to go. And if it wasn't for a shelter, I'd probably either be locked up or possibly dead. And I think what they're doing here with this show is actually it's going to help a lot of people open their eyes up to what people are when or where they are when they are homeless. And you know, I'm looking forward to going to where I've got to go, and hopefully somebody else will come in behind me and have another place to go to because of the homeless shelters. Thanks.
if you're going to be homeless anywhere on the planet, I would want to be homeless in Vermont, because I was homeless for some time in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And if you have any kind of problems out there with drinking, or just if you have a problem staying sober out there, you become prey for people who want to just beat you up and kill you. When I was out there, it was the murder capital of the world. I think there was about 8 murders a week or something. And I found bodies, dead bodies out there too, mostly Native Americans. But you don't see that here in Vermont. The people here at Morningside Shelter are very good at what they do. If you're homeless and you don't want to be homeless, they will help you not be homeless.
This has been produced by WVEW LPFM in Brattleboro, Vermont, in support of the Homelessness Marathon.
The butcher and the baker and the undertaker, the butler and the barber too, the boy without a liver and the Indian giver, they've all got the main.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Nobody, and welcome back to the Homelessness Marathon, where the numbers to call in are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. This hour, we're going to talk about France. This is our international hour, and usually we highlight a different country. And this year, we're going to talk about France, and there's a very interesting situation going on in France, which is that they're having a presidential election. There are two candidates. On the left, you have Ségolène Royal, and on the right, you have Nicolas Sarkozy. And they're both talking about providing housing. The French rightist is considerably to the left of any politician running for president in the United States today, and that's the rightist. So we're going to try to make some sense out of this. And here to help us make some sense out of this is Marc Oury, policy officer for ALPIA, which is Action for Housing Rights in Lyon, France. Marc Oury, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hello. Thank you, Jeremy.
It's a great pleasure to have you there. Can you tell us some background here? I think this is a very puzzling situation to Americans. How did housing become such a big issue in France in the presidential election?
Yes, maybe we have to consider the situation of homelessness in France first. We have 3 million people who are supposed to be homeless in France nowadays. I mean, only 100,000 of rough sleepers and other people who live in crowded buildings or insane areas, in squats, in emergency centers, and the whole homelessness sector is about 3 million people, which is about 5% of the population, and 5 other million people are under an imminent risk of becoming homeless, living by relatives or living in flats where they are supposed to be evicted soon, etc., etc. So this situation is a new situation in France, because homelessness decreased for decades and decades, and now it restarted from the 80s. And it became progressively a big issue in France, considering the price of housing and the quality of housing and the numbers of people living outside. And progressively, there was a growing conscience that homelessness is a war declared against our society, and this war makes more victims than any other war. So that's how it came up progressively in France, and the huge part of population which is concerned made it taken in account by politicians.
How did it happen that you started going in the wrong direction, and what made it go since the 80s so that more and more people became homeless?
I think there are four different reasons. The first reason was the abandon of big public policies. After the Second World War, there were big public policies, a big public sector of housing, something like Roosevelt New Deal policies. And we have now wrong public sector, public stock, which is old and which is not well targeted because it was done for the country rebuilding after Second World War, and it was targeted to the whole population, and the social sector is not targeted to the poorest. And that's the second point. And we also abandoned any market regulation, and the prices became very high. So people who live in social housing are not able to go out from social housing to the private market, and people who are homeless are not able to join the social housing stock because there's no more turnover. And that's the third aspect. And the fourth aspect, which led to the justiciable right to housing, was the bad structure of the public policies, because you have divided competencies between local levels, national levels, regional levels, and nobody is responsible for housing. And that's why there were no more policies, because nobody wanted to pay for housing, which is an expensive policy. So the justiciable right to housing appeared to, at first, to NGOs as a way to clarify responsibilities and to say who has to pay for what and who is responsible to guarantee a right which is in different international and national laws already.
Those numbers to call in here on the Homelessness Marathon are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. How much of a role, we'll come to the actual talk about the riots and the policies, but how much of a role did the riots in the Environ-France of Paris have to do with the finally really addressing the need for housing?
You mean last year riots?
Yes.
It was, I think, we have two different issues. We have a urban crisis, which is linked to the forms of the cities. We have to say it shortly, we have the rich people inside the centers or very far in little houses. And in the suburbs, we have very poor areas with ethnic and poverty concentration. And France refused to consider ghettos. We have no ethnic data, no geographic data, so we refused to consider these ghettos until last year riots. And then there was the main objective of policies was to organize social mix in the last years to avoid such riots. But it's another objective than to ensure a right like housing. And that's a question, because there might be a confrontation. If you want to give a home to everybody, you will give the free flats, and the free flats are in the poorest areas, so you may give the poorest people the poorest areas, and then we may renew ghettos. So it's a danger in the application of a right to housing.
What is the position of the two candidates on housing? What is Ségolène Royal's position, and what is Nicolas Sarkozy's position?
I think the two candidates are in a campaign period accept the idea of a justiciable right to housing, to say, well, anybody has to be protected by the society concerning its basic needs. If we want to assess law as a public authority, we have to guarantee the rights. It's the counterpart of the legitimacy to the public authority to assess laws. It's very strong in France, and it's in the Roman culture countries. But for the right wing, the question is more about the link, the strong link between equality and responsibility, and to say that people are responsible of themselves. So the right to housing is under conditions of being not responsible for one's situation, what you can do for yourself, what did you do to be in this situation, and so on. And the right wing stress this part, and the left wing says people are not in a position to be responsible, and first they have to be housed, and then we can ask them to be responsible. So that's the difference, the small difference between the two candidates.
Those numbers to call in again here on the Homelessness Marathon are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Well, let's take your right-wing candidate, Nicolas Sarkozy. What would I have to do if I'm in France in order to get housing? What would I have to be able to do?
Okay, so you have you have to claim for public housing, and then there will be a commission that will consider the, that your demand is reasonable, and then will consider the lack of proposition you had in a short delay of 2 or 3 months. And if you have a reasonable demand and a lack of proposition, you will be able to make a, something like an emergency application in a court against the French state, which is responsible clearly now, and which will have to pay a daily tax until there's an answer. So if there's numerous cases in court, it will be very expensive for the state, which will then provide housing, which became less expensive than the lack of answers. And you may have, I would say, ordinary housing or a shelter with social support or psychological support and so on, if needed. Because people who are homeless sometimes need support to be in a better way to stand the flats and to avoid any failure in the occupation of the flats with a new eviction and new homeless situation and so on.
But if I can jump through a few hoops, your right-wing candidate still says the state of France should give me a house, give me housing.
Yes. I think it's accepted by the whole politicians now, and we had the most popular public character in France was a priest, very involved in the fight against homelessness, which was called Abbé Pierre, and who just died in January. So he became something like a saint. So it's very complicated for any candidate to say something against right to housing
well,
now.
It's not tarp in this country. Let me tell you, dying is a steep price to pay, by the way, for sainthood, I think, you know. I personally am not that eager to be a saint, if that's what it takes. We have a caller on the line. Those numbers to call in are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Ted from Victoria, British Columbia, here on the international theme. Welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Jeremy, let me tell you right off the start, you don't have to be dead to be a saint. You're a saint. You're a godsend, buddy. Anyways, it's interesting you're talking to a guest over in France. I'm in Canada myself. And from Americans, we hear this thing about, oh, he's a lefty. He is a liberal. He's a liberal, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, what liberal means is downsizing of government, selling off the public assets. I'd like to ask your guest, what does liberal government, a liberal government person, what are they in France?
That's a good question, Ed. I don't even know if it's a term that's used in France. What would you say, Mark?
Oh, when we say liberal, it means it's linked to the new public management. For us, liberal is something between Reagan and Thatcher. So we are very in a very old mood. We have socialists and liberals, and the liberals are the right wing, and even our right wing is somehow more statists. Even the French liberals are more statists.
In Canada, it's just the same kind of thing. And Jeremy, we're jazzed over you Americans talking about these liberals. You know how dangerous they are. But actually, liberals are George Bush and Dick Cheney and sell Anwar, let's drill oil in Alaska. That's the, what do you guys call them in America? A conservative, right?
Well, this is a little complicated because the actual term that you would be the analog in America for what you're describing is neoliberal. Neoliberal is really means Thatcher or something like that kind of conservative. Now, the question of what liberal means, that's a little bit in dispute.
Yes.
Liberal supposedly means that you are to the left, but people who are on the left feel that a liberal is somebody who sells them out and really stays with power. But on the other hand, the right wing thinks that the liberals are, and acts like they're all communists. So it's kind of a very disputed term.
How does your guest feel? Because Lenin, I thought, was a student in Paris.
Well, okay. Mark, I'm not sure. Are you up to date on Lenin?
Oh, I didn't really understand. I have sound problems.
Okay, well, I think that...
Do you find Jeremy's answer kind of funny?
I don't hear very well, sorry.
I think you're having a hard time hearing Ted. I think what Ted is asking you, though, is when I gave my description of what liberal means here, which is different to everybody, is that seem strange to you or funny?
Oh, I think we are quite used to this confusion because we have news from the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. But I think we are... The confusion comes from the strange package because we mix something that is linked to behavior, something that is linked to... you can be very liberal in terms of, I don't know, sexuality, which is something quite left, and very liberal in an economic perspective, which is quite culturally on the right. So the mix liberal is something strange, I think. And I think also in terms of rights, there is no division because John Locke, who is the father of the American Declaration of Independence, is not very far from Hegel in terms of what is the right and what is the duty of public authority towards the citizens. So I think it was our campaign in France. There must be no division between left and right on the question of rights and the question of public responsibilities towards individuals.
Ted, you're going to speak for Canada right now on this show here. So, Ted, where would you classify the situation in Canada as far as housing goes? You have a great deal of homelessness up there, but you also have national health insurance, which is better than what we have. So how would you characterize it?
Incredibly, and they're trying to sell us on that you got it better than us.
Well, if they can sell you on that, they can sell you that, let's put it this way, homeless people do things in the bushes that you'd be eating up there if you believed that.
Oh, God.
I'm maybe being too graphic, but no way do we have it better than you do.
And I read on the blog, too, some things you talked about, flop housing and that type of stuff. And it's amazing that I'm hearing from France that there's now a homelessness. How long has this homelessness problem happened in France?
Well, he's been saying, I know you two can't really hear each other, that it's been... that they didn't really have it, and it's been getting worse and worse for 20 years, which is just like the United States. Do you see, Ted, it getting worse or better in Canada right now?
Hold it. Can we talk about a company called Accenture, an advisor to businesses and to government, and how this company that's based in the Bahamas has been selling the people of the world down the tube?
Well, Ted, I'd like to talk about that, as a matter of fact. Do you know that I wrote about them, and I tried to get people interested, and I could not get anyone in the mainstream media even to understand why this was important. But Accenture used to be, I think it's W.D. Anderson, and they were the company that destroyed the Enron records and
they
helped
to
hide the corporate crime, but they're also a company that advises governments on how to throw people off of welfare, and they're experts who got paid over $500 an hour went to Toronto and tried to teach them how to throw people off of social benefits of about $500 a month.
And so, kind of, what's the effect over in France? What's been happening in France with this idea?
Well, I'm going to toss that back to Mark, but since you're having a hard time hearing each other, I'm going to thank you. And by the way, you're completely wrong at what you said about in the opening. That's one thing I'll disagree with. But as long as I'm alive, I can afford to disagree. Ted, I want to thank you very, very much for the call. Good talking to you this year. Mark, let's go back to this situation in France. What you're saying, it's so radical because, you know, that the idea that on this issue of housing and social responsibility, your left and right are fairly close together. I guess you could say that left and right in our American political system are also close together because neither of them believes in doing anything for anybody. But that's not quite the same thing. Is there a package of rights that everyone pretty much agrees on in France? I mean, for instance, does everybody agree there ought to be national health insurance in France?
Yes, we have a package of rights. Our social security system, mixing health, the health public system, which is free for people, free. We pay it by taxes, but not by using the services, the accommodations. And we have the retirement pensions, and we have the school, which are the three pillars of the social security. And then we also have a mutual system for unemployed people, which is part of the social security. And the fight of the last decades was to put housing in this block, in this package of social rights, which are part of the social consensus in France. So it's in the constitution. It's impossible to touch that. And that's a huge breach to improve rights, to say, well, we just have to put them in the social security system, and it's after that it's accepted by the whole political parties. It's not an ideal system, but at least we have this package.
Those numbers to call in again are 877 Nobody 8 or 866 Left Out. 877 Nobody 8 is 877-662-6398. 877-662-6398. Mark, I must confess to being very confused, not because you haven't explained it well, but what I can't quite understand is if you have so many benefits in France, so many rights, why do you have so many poor people?
That's the question. We have what we call programmatic rights. It's an objective. We are not based on... It's a different of legal system. We don't call rights the same core than in UK, for example, or in United States. You may have a right and not enjoy it without any possible application. For example, we have fundamental right to work, and we have 10% rate of unemployed people, and that there is no problem to keep on going with that fundamental right on one side and 10% of unemployed people on the other side. And that's the problem in France. We have very positive and ideal texts, and then somehow weak realities follow. So the question is how to find means to make reality closer to the ideal text. That's our structure in France. And that was also the purpose of a justiciable right to housing. Say, well, people need a way to test this responsibility. When you say you have a right, you need to have a possible application to test this right. And that's the reason why we try to put this justiciable right to housing was because there was a difference between the laws and the reality.
I see. So what you call a right in France is something what we would more call an ideal.
Yes, something like that. We have also some real rights, like for rights that are in the mm-hmm. Universal Declaration of Human Rights, where you can make an application to defend your rights. And we also have these social rights, which are more programmatic rights. When you say right to health, for example, you can make an application if you die.